I do a board advisory for a company. It's again a fintech company. And in the previous board meeting, they asked their CISO, and I was also part of it, you know, so they asked the CISO to develop a marketing collateral so that they can send it to customers on how secured their product is. So that they, you know, it's a fintech product. The product doesn't have, it's not a security market product. It's a fintech market product. But they wanted to send these communications to all their customers so that they stay ahead in line. And the reason was they do not want customers to audit them. So how do you reduce customers' audits? If you stay ahead in game and tell customers, hey, this is what I'm doing. See, this is what my marketing collateral looks like. So it's changing the way it is. So it's not only big companies are doing it. It's a smaller companies. This is a fintech for like 200 people. Right? Those kind of companies are also doing it.
Welcome to the Cyber Ranch Podcast, recorded under the big blue skies of Texas, where one CISO explores the cybersecurity landscape with the help of friends and experts. Here's your host, Alan Alford, President and CISO at Alan Alford Consulting.
Howdy, y'all, and welcome to the Cyber Ranch Podcast. That is Ankor Ahuja. He is a two-time CISO. He is a TEDx speaker. He is a startup investor, board advisor, etc., etc. He is currently SVP and CISO at Billtrust. He's got some Big Four in his DNA, too. In fact, 10 years in the Big Four. He does startup investments. He does advisories. And Ankor wanted to chat with me today about how CISOs can drive business growth. So I asked him to come on down to the ranch and have the chat with me live on the show. Ankor, thank you so much for coming to the ranch.
Thank you, Alan.
All right, so let's get started here. Driving business growth. Do we want to talk about top line? Do we want to talk about bottom line? Do we want to talk about all the lines? Where do you want to start this conversation?
So it can be any line. I see CISOs getting involved in all kind of lines in today's world. So, there's a shift in the way CISOs operate every year. And in last few years, I saw a shift where, hey, we want to close this big deal, CISO, come on. Hey, we wanted to do a small deal, CISO, come on. Hey, we wanted to acquire this customer, CISO, come on, let's talk to the customer. So CISOs are being involved in sales pitches, business development, growth. You know, CISOs talk about company growth. And that's the trend which I am seeing, which is happening, especially in banking, fintech, tech companies or travel tech, e-commerce companies, right? It's still to pick up in manufacturing units where the traditional CISO mechanism is working. But I see this trend everywhere now.
Yeah, I do too. And I've lived it. And I really think it's funny in this industry, we have the pure play CISO things like Ivanta, for example, that are, like all about the CISOs. And if you're a vendor, you're not allowed, right? Like that's taboo. You're not allowed to be a vendor CISO. And yet what you're describing is really, we're all vendors now. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yes. Yes. Recently I did a talk in Billtrust event, which is where the Billtrust customers, which is account receivable company, which my company is an account receivable product company. And the talk was about product security. And customers wanted to hear, how do we secure our products? What we do to secure our products? What is on the roadmap of product security for me? And that's what almost, I've got many, I've got a huge list where customers want to do a follow-up discussion on the products they are purchasing from us or they will be purchasing for us in near future, and talk about their security. So if that works, that's a win for us. And that's how the business development is happening today.
Yeah, that is it exactly. And I had some guests on the show quite some time ago. It's probably about a year and a half ago now. We did a show called the BISO Bonanza. I had three different BISOs on the show. And one of them worked for an insurance company. And his comment was, I don't care what industry you're in anymore, you're a technology company, right? Because The insurance company has a SaaS offering, right? The retail place has a SaaS offering. I don't care what industry you're in. Everyone is pushing some kind of SaaS, something that's out there, some cloud-facing, some internet-facing, some portal, some something. Everyone has technology as a product or service for their company, no matter what they do anymore.
So it is, I was reading, and I think it was by Gartner or IDX, I'm not sure, but in an article, it was written, any company which does not call themselves as tech company will diminish in the next 5 years.
That's it. That is exactly it. That is exactly it. You're either on board with that world or you're a dinosaur, right? I mean, yeah. That's where it's headed. We're all technology companies. And if we're all technology companies, then every one of us as CISOs, even if we don't have a direct hand in product security, we're going to be the one they ask to talk to when they're concerned about product security. So we better have a hand in product security.
Yes. So, Checkmarks also did a recent survey on product security, because that's what they do, product security. And they found that 84% of CISOs are dragged into sales pitches, which is a big number. If 84% CISOs, I don't believe that 84% is a big number, but I still believe there's a significant number of CISOs who are dragged into sales pitches. Now, the question which comes is, should I fix my internal tools, technologies, processes, or should I focus really driving business as a CISO? So how do you segregate this? How much time you need to spend on each of it? What is expected out of board? Does board really give you a brownie numbers end of the year because you helped in closing some pitches? Or the board says, hey, because you've got an internal security issue, I'm taking some brownies away from you.
Yeah. How are you measured?
Those are the things which are happening today.
Yeah. How are you measured? Like, that's so critical. That's so vital, because you're right. It's going to be different in every culture, every company. Some boards are very much going to be aware that you're involved in those sales calls and are going to see that as a positive. And others won't even know it. They're just going to look and say, why did we get breached? Oh, the CISO was too busy helping sales. Why wasn't he CISOing?
yep.
That's it. That's a mixed bag. And to your point too, I think, if we're all technology companies now, right? Okay, cool. We're all technology companies. The CISO is going to be involved in this. And even if it isn't 84%, to your point, it's still an awful lot of us being put in that circumstance. So it's almost like, I was having a conversation with some friends earlier today, this idea that the CISO was already the does everything role. We were already GRC plus tech stack. We were already, coaching and mentoring the business and advising and consulting. We're already consultants. We're already technology people. We're already policy and governance and compliance people. We're already partnered with general counsel. We're already quite possibly in charge of privacy, even though we probably shouldn't be. There's all these other roles. And now on top of that, sales and marketing is a must. I want to see that in the job descriptions, right? Like, let's get real about that. If that's going to be on the table, I want to have that formalized. I want to let the board know I'm doing it and maybe even measure me by it.
So all the things which you mentioned, other than sales and marketing, is considered BAU. So doing your job. If you want to really say that, hey, you're doing something extra, there comes sales and marketing. So, and that is expecting now. So I am sure that in coming times, this will be added in job descriptions. It will not be surprising, like our sales team, product teams get targets to meet some revenues. CISOs may start getting that.
Yeah. Now, I'll say this too. I have been a CISO more than once. In fact, I currently am right now at a cybersecurity vendor. And it is not extra to be sales and marketing when you're a CISO at a cybersecurity vendor. It is 100% part of the JD. You will be attending sales calls. You will be representing the security of the company. You will be one of the key faces of the company. You will be out there espousing what we do because you are the security guy at the security company. It's on you 100%. And I think that trend blossoms out from there. I think you're right. I think we're going to start seeing it in more and more JDs.
I do a board advisory for a company. It's again a fintech company. And in the previous board meeting, they asked their CISO, and I was also part of it, you know, so they asked the CISO to develop a marketing collateral so that they can send it to customers on how secured their product is. So that they, you know, it's a fintech product. It's not a security market product. It's a fintech market product. But they wanted to send these communications to all their customers so that they stay ahead in line. And the reason was they do not want customers to audit them. So how do you reduce customers' audits? If you stay ahead in game and tell customers, hey, this is what I'm doing. See, this is what my marketing collateral looks like. So it's changing the way it is. So it's not only big companies are doing it. It's a smaller companies. This is a fintech for like 200 people, right? Those kind of companies are also doing it.
Yeah, that's interesting. It grows quickly from here. And you know, the idea that we're going to assist in marketing collateral, bragging about your security posture as a marketing position, it's a dangerous game, right? Like, yes, you know, exactly. People in glass houses, right? Like we're all CISOs, let's be honest here. You know, we all know we're not as secure as we'd like to be. We all know that there's vulnerabilities and fragility throughout whatever org we might be a part of here and there. There's no one's 100% happy as a CISO ever, which means by default, there's something there you're worried about. And to go bragging and thumping your chest about we're the secure ones, like it's almost like just inviting the hackers in. <You know? laughs>
So when you brag and this, you know, so if you brag and you brag it on a social media, you brag it on LinkedIn, you brag it on some of the other places, yes, that's a public news. So you're basically telling, I can see I'm bragging that I am secure. Come over, test me.
Yeah, test exactly. Me. what was the, there was an identity protection company, the CEO actually rented billboards around America and posted his social security number on the billboards. And the ad campaign was basically like, we are so good at protecting identity. Here's our CEO's social security number. Good luck. Try to do anything bad with it. And this was their ad campaign. And guess what happened? They took down those billboards very quickly. But the hubris of that, right? Like that, what a thing. So let's get into some physics. So we talk about enabling sales and marketing. What are some actual concrete tactical things we can be doing and strategic things we can be doing as the CISO to help top line, bottom line? Like what are some good examples?
See, you know, in today's world, every company is sharing data with every company, right? Any deal you're doing, you're sharing some kind of data. And if you can be, to start with, you can be part of conversations with customer and conversations with client where you're talking about how do you do encryption? How do you secure your data? How do you, what kind of technologies do you have? And how do you meet those requirements which customer expects you to do it? That's the starting point. Once you start interacting with the customers, you will start building up relationships with customers, CISOs, and customer security team. The business will come and close maybe the numbers, you know, the financial numbers, but this relationship between you and customer CISOs is very pivotal. If customer CISOs tells business, hey, something is wrong with their security, that's a bad news for you.
Yes, it is.
So how you can, you know, be, how you can build up relationship with customers, CISOs, so that they talk anything wrong about your security first with you before talking to their own business.
Yes.
If you are achieving that point where the customer's security team talks to you first that, hey, I see this is something wrong in you, than speaking to their own business, that's where is the cut. And that's where you will say your security have succeeded to win customers' trust.
Oh, that is brilliant. And it, you know, that is relationships, not transactional interactions. That is true investment and true development. That is it. That is the sign of winning right there. That is exactly it. Because we all go to these sales calls and we all do the whole dog and pony show and here's what we do and we have this kind of encryption and da-da-da-da-da. And, you know, somebody's going to find something they're concerned about inevitably at some point. And that's it. That's a really strong measure right there. Do they call me or do they go complain upstairs to their own people, right? That's brilliant. That's exactly like, hey, Alan, come on, let's talk, you know? That I love that. That's a great answer. So, okay, so sales calls, marketing calls, relationship building. And it's important to point out that's a CISO to CISO dialogue too, I feel like. Like, you know, I don't want to go back to the modem days, but there's a baud rate thing you can get to, the, you know, and find your matching baud rate when it's two CISOs. And I found that to shortcut a lot of red tape and a lot of bureaucracy, and that's on both sides of the table. That's as the vendor and as the consumer. Both CISO, right? Both CISO roles.
Correct. And if it is, it is other way around also.
Yeah.
Right? When you are basically onboarding a new customer,
mm-hmm.
at that point, are you confident your customer is secured?
Yeah.
It should not happen that you get into a problem if customer gets compromised.
Right. Right.
So how do you rate and advise your business whether to onboard or not to onboard that customer?
Mm-hmm.
So this is the other side of the story. In this case, also, you have to build the relationships.
Yeah.
Relationship building is extremely important.
Yeah, it is.
However, in this side, you know, you're measuring the things from the other standpoint.
Yep, yep. And now for a brief word from our sponsor. Alford & Adams Consulting offers strategic and transformative cybersecurity consulting, fractional CISO and vCISO services. We offer assessments, plans, programs, and anything else you might need to be successful in your cybersecurity journey. We can even help you find good cyber insurers and good partners to help manage the day-to-day. Find out more at alfordandadams.com. That's alfordandadams.com. Thank you. I will share a story, and I won't say what industry I was in. I will share a story where, and this is so important what you're saying, because we all know don't onboard sketchy vendors, you know, but don't onboard sketchy customers is super sound advice. I worked for a particular type of organization who ended up with a variety of customers to whom they were connected rather intimately. And so you can imagine, even with good segregation internally, you can see where if customer A gets ransomed and you've got a deep connection, to your point, everyone's exchanging data these days, somehow that comes back to you at the core, then that could theoretically, even though you've done all the things, network segmentation and all the good stuff, there is still a possibility that that will in turn affect other customers. So it's almost like, you know, the weakest boat can sink the whole fleet if you're not careful.
100%. And with this, there is a risk also. If you see a lot of fintech products where your customers are direct banks.
Yes.
Right? If one of the bank maybe is going down, not mm-hmm. doing well, central mm-hmm. bank has some restrictions imposed on the bank, you will have to be cautious of onboarding similar banks as your customers.
Yes.
Tomorrow.
Yes.
Right? I have an example for this.
Mm-hmm.
After the fallout of the recent bank, Californian Bank, I don't want to name.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You don't have to. We all understand. Yeah, we all understand which bank I'm talking about.
Yes.
And I have one of my, and it's almost a year and a half back now. This story, year back. So, I was doing advisory for one of the fintech companies. They asked their CISO to keep an eye and benchmark all their customers as 1, 2, 3, like gold, silver, bronze, and all the bronze who are in the same segment, keep an eye on how their security is. Audit as a cust, they're your customers, but still keep an eye on what controls they have, what kind of integration we are doing for them. Is their data segregated with us completely? tomorrow, is there a risk that they may fall out and we, our business is in jeopardy, right? So all those kind of questions were asked to the CISO that time, and which was, for me, it was first time to see this, but I can see this trend changing. You know, we are, you know, it's other way around as well, right? Where if you have a customer, one of the customers of the same segment has an issue, you will keep an eye on all the other customers when they will falling in the same segment.
Of course you will. And this isn't just to your point. Like I gave the story of almost kind of like a data contamination type scenario. Like I touch you and you get infected. Now I'm infected. This is bad. You're describing I don't want my revenue streams to be relying upon entities that might explode at any moment. Right. That, I mean, seriously, as a, you know, and think about just, let's say you're a small startup of some kind. It doesn't matter, fintech or anything. You've got that one big customer. Everybody always lands that one big customer, right? That's how it really gets started. And then you have that handful of smaller customers you started with, and then it kind of grows from there, right? And you find yourself getting persistently selling to a very vulnerable audience. Well, if they explode, you just lost a substantial chunk of revenue, period, end of discussion. That's full stop. So evaluating your customers based on their survivability, not just their ability to contaminate you, but just on their general own survivability, this becomes actually a valid consideration. That's a huge insight, man.
Yeah. And it's both ways, right? So one is when you are checking your customers. Second, when you are actually convincing your customers to buy your product. At every step, CISO is playing a big role. And I can see if this trend grows, I am telling you, more and more CISOs will come in front and winning the deals. More and more CISOs will come in front and keeping an eye on their customers, both sides. You know, one of the reasons these bigger CISO forums, we spoke about Ivanta just now, and then there is, whether it's RSAs or Black Hats or whatever, you know, there's so many conferences happening. They are basically becoming a hub of CISO to CISO connect, which has been for years, but they're also becoming a hub of service provider to customer connect. Service provider CISO connecting with customer CISO there. I've some of the companies are asking, they're a fintech company. They don't have to do anything with security, like as a product. So their product is a fintech product. There's a finance product. It's a banking product. It's an insurance product. But now they want to do an event along with RSA, calling their customer CISOs there and show about what security features they're launching in their product.
Oh, that's wild.
That's a very different, which has not been seen ever. And this is happening because this is a change in trend which is happening.
Yeah, there's a pivot. It's interesting you say that. I'm thinking of the evolution of RSA over the years. Originally, it was a boatload of practitioners. And then sort of the CISOs got a hold of it, and it became a boatload of CISOs. And then there was that pivot to where there's not as many CISOs as there are venture capitalists now. You know, and now we're seeing non-security companies coming to the fray. To your point, non-security companies are even participating now. Like, check us out. We have this awesome security play, even though we're not a security company. Pretty soon, RSA is not a security conference anymore.
Correct.
It's a bunch of venture capitalists looking at a bunch of fintech companies, and it's still called RSA. That's hysterical. So... okay, so customer physics, vendor physics, CISO involved, CISO at the front, formalizing it in the job description, or maybe not yet, but knowing it's on the table anyway. We talk about things like getting that bot rate, communicating with that CISO. We talk about things like security questionnaires. So what's your take on that space in that world?
Traditionally, you know, security team used to get all the questionnaires. There used to be a subset of security team who are responsible for, hey, this RFP says this 20 pages of security answers, please respond. This 20 pages, please respond.
Yeah. Just cranking them out all day.
One of the trend which has been seen is making your sales team security professionals. So what you're basically doing is, your sales team, you're enabling to answer these responses. And this is happening as a trend. I've seen this happening in the last few years, maybe I'll say 2 years or so, where security team is being, security team has been told, enabling the sales teams to respond to questionnaires which customer wants.
Empowering the sales teams to at least do the first round, right?
Even the second round. I'm telling you, I have seen sales guys who are a sales guy in an e-commerce company or in a fintech company or any technology company, and you can ask them, what encryption do you use? What certifications do you have? How do you submit your PCIs? They've got the answers because they've been enabled that way.
That's great.
Whereas, and this is one of the KPIs which every organization is measuring today. How many responses you can give by your own, how many responses your sales team can give, right, on behalf of you. And when you achieve that number and your number goes up and up, where sales team is enabling the responses, that's where your achievement comes. So
I like that
that's
a lot.
What is happening.
You know, and that's not just about empowering the questionnaires. That's about sales as security as a sales differentiator. Because if they're that knowledgeable for the questionnaires, then they're that knowledgeable in the field about, oh, and by the way, we have really good security. They can use that proactively, not just answering questionnaires. If a salesperson in the call can be like, oh, yeah, we use this kind of encryption in that library and those protocols, and like if he can just throw that stuff on the table during the sales call, this is much bigger than just answering questionnaires. This is sales enablement now.
Correct. And think of this. A CISO interviewing a head of sales for a job position to check whether he has the basic security knowledge so that he can represent to the customers an adequate security posture.
I love it. So now we're adding to the CISO's job description, you will be an interviewer for key roles in the company, including sales, right?
Good.
Like this is another driver. This is another how to contribute to the top and bottom line story right there. Boom. I'm not going to let a non-security savvy sales guy take over the sales organization or a sales gal or whoever it might be. Doesn't matter. They're going to pass my muster if we're going to bring them in a sales leadership role. Boom. That's brilliant.
Got it. See, there are a lot of these things are happening. So, you know, if a CISO has an adequate role and he sits in executive leadership of the company or senior leadership of the company, CISOs are generally asked to interview other executives being hired and check whether they really understand security or not. I know he can do a best sales job, but will he be able to do a sales for us, especially where, you know, you're basically moving a lot of confidential data here and there, whether he'll be able to justify to the customer our security posture.
And, you know, and that extends to, you know, if you think it through, I have actually, and I didn't think about this until you just shared this perspective, but I have actually been involved in general counsel interviews as a CISO. We have an opening for a new general counsel. Hi, I'm the CISO, and you better darn believe I'm gonna be part of that interview process, because if we end up with somebody who has no clue what my world is about, my life is going to be hell. So
yes,
I want my general counsel to be security savvy. I want my head of sales to be security savvy. I want marketing to be security savvy. I want, if we have privacy or risk or any of these roles, I want them to be security savvy, right? Like I'm going to be partnered with all these people down the road.
Yeah. So how good it will be if, you know, the head of sales is able to explain to the customer how your SOC works.
Yes. Yes.
That's crazy.
That is crazy, but that's genius. And again, it's that's so empowering for everybody involved. And you want to talk about a customer who's not going to be harassing you. If the sales team can present that strong a story up front, I don't even need to talk to your CISO. Where do I sign, right?
Yes. And you know, this, they will have lesser and lesser audits on you. They will have lesser and lesser checks and balances on you. They will, you know, do more, lesser and lesser, so they'll be less pushy on the security controls because they understand that this organization is more security savvy organization where everyone understands security.
Yes, yes, yes. That's it. That's it. There's a confidence factor that you cannot, you cannot overlook. Like this is so key. This is a security confidence factor, organization to organization. If the mere salesperson, if the mere marketing gal, if the mere general counsel, if she knows, if the head of sales knows, you know, like if all of them can tell me a strong security story, I'm good. I'm a happy customer. I love this. Well, listen, thank you so much for coming on down and chatting about all this with me. This was a fantastic conversation. This is the thing I try to do on this show is get beyond the surface, right? We can all scratch the surface and we can all say security questionnaires and go to sales calls and have a very short and very simple answer. But you dug into the depths here, and I totally appreciate that. This is exactly what we try to do on the show. So thank you so much for coming on down and chatting with me.
Thank you, Ellen. Thank you for inviting me. It was my pleasure to speak to you and speak to your audience. It's so great. And I look forward for every CISO to start wearing sales hat now.
I love it. I love it. Well, thank you, Ankur. Thank you, listeners. Y'all be good now.